Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready?
Welcome to our internet program. You heard the interlude of our show. Are you ready? Are you ready to do the thing that God put to your hands to do? I welcome you to our program. I'm your host, Minister Joel Lewis, and you listening to Free on the Inside. Oh, I love that. I love that. I love it. Because I was held hostage. I was in bondage until I heard the word of God that set me free. And who the Son set free is truly, truly, truly free indeed. I would like to just welcome you to our program. Our call-in number is 310-982-4126. Again, that number is 310-982-4126. I'd like to thank Beverly Beasley at Granny Place. She's the sponsor this show each and every week. Granny Place is a nonprofit ministry that's meeting the needs of our young men and women at risk. Granny Place Ministry is a nonprofit ministry, 501(c). We are located at 1415 Wheatland Road in the Duncanville area at First Free Will Baptist Church. And we also have adopted an apartment unit in the Mesquite area, and that's Creekside Villa Apartments. We're over there on the second, the third, and the fourth Saturday of each week there. Go to our website. You can see more information about it. And we ask you to be a part of what God is doing in the lives of God's people. Without any further delay, I would like to introduce to you this morning our guest on Free on the Inside, Pastor Mickey. He's a man of God. He have a school that he wants to share with us concerning his school. Feed My Sheep Word Ministry is the name of his church, and Feed My Sheep School of Ministry is what he's have that he'd like to share with us this morning. Good morning, Pastor Mackey. Good morning, Pastor. Hey, man, he's on the line right now. Let's see. Oh, there you go again. We lost him a while ago. Good morning, Pastor. You're on the net. Good morning, Pastor. Good morning. Welcome. We had a little switchboard error there, but good morning to you.
God bless you this Pastor morning. Mackey. How are we doing this morning?
I'm doing great. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm excited about what you have to share with us this morning. So please introduce yourself and share with us what God has put to your hands to do.
Good morning. Good morning. God bless you again. Thank you, Minister Lewis, for having me on this morning. My name is Pastor Marceline Madkin, Sr. I'm with the Feed My Sheep the Word Ministry. We're located in Dallas, Texas at 7220 Southwest Moreland Road in the Dallas area, 75237. That's close to the Duncanville area of Dallas. And our contact number is 214-264-7068. And we're calling to introduce to many that have not heard, we have a School of Ministry, Feed My Sheep School of Ministry. We've been established for a year and a half now as a School of Ministry. We've had two graduations, and the reason that we have the ministry school is because we allow God to lead us into opening the doors so that those who would have a calling of God on their life would be obedient to walk in without any reservations. Sometimes what we have is people – yeah, well, we have people saying, I don't know how to do it. I don't have the funding for it. It's going to cost too much. So God has blessed us to launch this ministry school as free of charge, no cost, free tuition for the School of Ministry. For those who wants to walk in obedience to God and obey God's call on their life and step in to do what he said. And I must say this. I was one of the ones that first had that same mentality when God called me to ministry. I had every excuse in the book, Minister Lewis. And I just said, well, Lord, I don't know how to do it. I don't know the first thing to do. I know you're calling me, but God, I don't know where to start. I don't have the funding to do it. And I heard a man of God come on the radio and introduce a school of ministry free of charge. And I tell you what, I said, Lord, if you open the door, I'll step through it. I would do it. And when that man of God came on the air and introduced a school of ministry free of charge, I'm like, okay, Lord, I hear you. So what I did was I obeyed God, and I stepped out. I made the phone call. I called in, and I got registered, got signed up, set up. And that was back in 2009. So I graduated as a licensed minister of the gospel in 2010 and been running for God ever since. And so God called me 2 years ago, back on May of 2014, to step out into ministry to answer the call, because I've just been holding the license. After I got licensed as a minister of the gospel, as a pastor, I was just holding the license. I wasn't doing anything. So God said, it's time to move. So I stepped out on May of 2014. The ministry, Feed My Sheep, the word ministry was a name that God gave me way back in, I'm talking about in probably in 2000, probably a little earlier than that, like in 1999. And he had called me to be a pastor way back then. But you know how sometimes we just run. We don't want to answer the call. We just run and have every excuse. But that ministry name stayed with me. And then when God told me it's time to step out, I stepped out. 2 years ago, the Feed My Sheep, the word ministry, opened the doors in Duncanville area of Dallas. And we've been there for going on 2 years. What's after 2 years, and in May of this past year, it was 2 years. So in February of 2015, God said to launch out a school of ministry, because there are people who are in dire need to fulfill the call of God, but they don't have the means or the necessities to do it, and they're having excuses of, Lord, I don't know how. So I knew this was the same thing that I faced, so I obeyed the call of God, and we opened the doors in February of 2015 for the school of ministry. And I tell you what, we didn't do any advertising, only by word of mouth, and we had like 22 students to register and sign up and graduate. In the first 6 months phase, they graduated in July of 2015. So
hey,
praise
man,
God.
Hey, man.
Some of those came in. Now, we have in the ministry school, we have what we call a one-phase exemption program. It's two phases. First phase is 6 months for licensing, 12 months total for ordination. To get your ordination license, you have to go the full 12 months. But if you have previously licensed before, and maybe your license expired, or maybe you don't have the credentials anymore, but you have had previous license, you can do the one-phase exemption and go for 6 months to get your credentials. So what we did, we have like a dozen, like 12 of the students came in under that program and was graduating as an ordained minister of the gospel 6 months later after we opened the doors. So I just thank and praise God for that opportunity to bless the people. And then, of course, those who came in without license, they went the whole year. So we had our second one-year graduation back in February of this year, a few months back. So I thank and praise God. We've done licensed and ordained over close to 40 students, and I thank and praise God for that. So if there's anybody out there who's interested in that program, it's for those 18 years of age and older. You can be licensed and ordained as a minister of the gospel. You've been hearing
again,
the call
again,
of God
give us that,
your life.
I'm sorry, Pastor. Again, give us that address and phone number.
The address for the school of ministry is at 7220 Southwest Moreland Road in Dallas, Texas. That's suite 210. Now, if they're interested, they can call the number of 214-264-7068. And we do have operators standing by to receive that call now. It's 214-264-7068. Now, there are five positions of licenses that you can get once you complete your 12 months. You can be licensed as a pastor, ordained as a pastor, reverend, minister, wedding officiant, or chaplain. Either one of those licenses, after a year, you can have the title of those positions. Praise God. Now, also, we have a public ceremony. Again, we have a public ceremony graduation service where you can invite your family and friends, your church family, your pastor to come out and witness this anointing.
All right, that's great. And, you know, and as you were sharing this, I was thinking about how people, they want to go to school, but they don't have the means or the finance to go, and you're making this school free of charge here. And I was, you know, and I was studying my Bible, I ran across Elijah. Elijah had a school of prophets. And today, mm-hmm. God is still calling for men and women to be informed and educated about the Word of God.
Right.
So, Pastor, you're on to something.
Right. Yeah, and one of the things, Minister Lewis, is that this alleviates any excuses that we have. You know, because financing is a big problem for a lot of people when you're talking about thousands and thousands of dollars to get your credentials. And you want to obey God, but you said, I don't have the necessary means. Well, this is why God is opening doors for those who wants to obey the call of God on their lives. And so many people have the call of God but don't know which way to go. One of the things that I have come to learn, and I appreciate God for doing for Feed My Sheep School of Ministry, is that sometimes people come in not even sure of what the calling of God is on their life. But once they go through the lesson, like I said, we have actually three phases. There's only two phases for the licensing. We have phase one, which is for the 6 months, and we're coming out of the book of Exodus. And the reason why we chose Exodus, I believe God has really designed it because it shows that there are people that are hurting and crying out. But right now, in today's society, we're dealing with silent cries. And God is still wanting to raise up people that will go forth into the world because people need the Lord. And they're crying out, we call it the silent cry, because they need a deliverer. They need a savior. And God is wanting to send people to be the deliverer, in a sense, to bring them the truth of God's word, because the word of God will set them free. And the word lets us know he who the Son set free is free indeed. So I believe that in Exodus, and the reason why we come up with Exodus, because God used Moses to deliver Israel, the children of Israel, because they were crying out for a deliverer. And God says, I'm raising up somebody. Well, there is somebody that's listening now. God is wanting to raise you up to be that man, that woman of God that will go forth and share the gospel of the word, share hope to a world that is hopeless and without God. They need to know that they can be delivered. They can be changed, and God is wanting to raise people up now. And then we have the phase two exemption, the phase two program. Now, that comes out of the book of Acts. It shows that God is not sending you by yourself. He is sending you with the Holy Spirit. He said he will give us the Holy Spirit that will go with us and teach us all things. So we are equipped. God is not just sending us as sheep among wolves, but he has equipped us with the power and the authority of God in our lives, that the Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us and direct us. So when we go forth, phase two is a strong book, and we just enjoy the knowledge and the wisdom that comes out of it to let us realize that we are well equipped to do the work of God. God is not sending us without weapons. We are charged. We are fully equipped. And we have on the whole armor of God. So when we go forth, we're going forth in his name. We're like David when he had to fight Goliath. You may be big, but you will come down, because we're not coming in our own strength. We're coming in the name of the Lord our God. So I thank and praise God for that.
Hey, man, you know what? You said something that put a smile on my face, because as I started this Christian walk, I was a baby in Christ, and we were studying the book of Acts, and I like adventure, and I like excitement, and the book of Acts was full of power. And I said, boy, God is awesome here. And I caught hold to that, and I got to thinking about how in the book of Acts, how the disciples was anointed with the Holy Spirit, and how they were able to go places and talk to people. They talked to leaders and people that just wasn't doing very well, and God empowered them. And as I go down to the jail, I see men that are convicted, men that are in gang members and got tattooed all over their bodies and teardrops under their eyes. And I go in there with the power of God. I said, bro, I'm not by myself. I got the Holy Spirit that leading me, that put a hedge of protection. And I see brothers crying. They fall on their knees and say, what must I do to be saved? You know, I see brothers that never getting out of jail. And they profess that they serve a living and risen Savior. Don't tell me that the gospel don't work. And I thank you for what you're doing.
Amen.
And how you're
Amen.
Empowering men and women to be all they could be. Because sometimes, let's face it, once we turn our life around, we start going to church and we start studying about it, and we say, Lord, what would you have me to do? I don't know what calling is. Your calling is the things that had you held hostage. I'm glad that you brought
that
up.
That's it. Amen. Amen. And it's so true because, you know, once we take on the coat of Christ, we are not our own, but we've been bought with a price. So once we take on the coat of Christ, it's no longer I that liveth, but it's Christ that liveth in me. So we're here to do the work that he has called for us to do. He said, greater works than these shall you do, because I'm going home, but I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send you a comfort that's going to be with you always. And he's going to be more than what we need. He's going to be our advocate, our helper, our intercessor. All that we need him to be, he will be for us. Wherever we go, we don't have to go in fear or being afraid, but we can go knowing that God is with us and we're not alone. So that's why you were able to go into those places, because once you realize you're not by yourself, I don't care how many people are around you, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world.
Amen. And that's what the School of Ministry is about. You know, it builds you up. Yeah. It lets you know that you're not alone. I love the gospel, but it doesn't do us any good to study the word and not be able to apply the word. You know, not being able to use the word to full effect. I take it to the analogy of mixing cement. You know, we shared this before, which I believe, I think it's a great time to do it. And cement don't do us any good unless we mix it with something. In this case, it's water. But the word don't do us any good unless we mix it with faith. And that's what the School of Ministry builds people's faith. Let them know, hey, God can still use you through your frustration, through your divorce, through your waywardness, through your addiction. God can still use you. He said, come just the way you are, but he ain't going to leave you the way you are. And I love what you're saying. I love the principles of what you're doing at Feed My Sheep School of Ministry, how you call it men to a purpose through the word of God and women.
That's it. And I like what you said, because that's one of the things that's one of the lies of the enemy, to let the people think, well, they're not worthy or they've done too much. But they got to realize that you are not unworthy of the blessings of God. God can use you right where you are. And if you don't believe that, you can have a talk with David. You can have a talk with many of the men and women of God that God used that thought that they weren't worthy of them. If you were to read their story, you would think, well, how could God use them? God can use you if your heart would be a heart of change back to God and say, Lord, forgive me. Here I am to be used for your glory. Here I am, God. Use me as you desire. Once we have given ourselves to God, no matter what you've done in your past, I don't care if you've done murdered, you've done stole, or whatever it is that you have done in your past, let me tell you, if you have the repentant heart, if you ask God to come into your life, you have been made a candidate to be used for the glory of God. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Pastor, we're going to stop here, man. We got a caller that wants to ask you a question regarding your School of Ministry.
Okay.
We're going to bring him on here and... Mr. Daniel, you're on the net. We have Pastor Mackey on the line. Would you care to ask him a question regarding his School of Ministry?
Okay. How you doing? Good morning, Pastor Mack.
Let's speak up, Brother Daniel. We can't hear you.
Good morning, Pastor Mack.
Mackey, how you doing today?
Blessed. Good morning, my brother. How are you?
I'm blessed. Okay, can you go back through the different time frames or the different periods that you explaining that you say, like, there are two parts of a ministerial degree, right?
The phases that we have. We have phase one, which would be 6 months, and you'll be licensed under our ministry as a phase one licensed minister. But to get your ordination, your credentials, that would be an additional 6 months, which would be a total of 1 year to get your ordination.
Okay. All right. Okay.
We have classes. The school classes are, we have Saturday classes from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. And then we also are introducing a Tuesday evening for those who can't make it on the weekends. We have a Tuesday evening class from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Now, the enrollment date is going to be on August the 27th. Is our new school enrollment day. We're getting ready to have a graduation here next month on the 20th. But the new school enrollment date is on August the 27th at 10 a.m. on Saturday morning.
Okay. Well, now you're talking about monetary stuff. You know, is it expensive? Do you have to put a down payment down or something like that?
No, sir. The school is tuition free. It doesn't cost you anything. We provide all the curriculum for you.
And the books.
Yes, sir. We take care of the books. Now, there is a one-time registration fee of just $20, but the school is absolutely free.
Completely free.
Yeah.
It's a blessing from God.
It is. And if you have any other questions later on, or if you have anybody else interested they have questions, you can call 214-264-7068. The school, like I say, once you get your first full year of your ordination, you will get a license, a pocket license. You will have a certificate license showing that you are ordained in one of those title positions that I explained earlier, which will be the title of pastor, reverend, minister, a wedding officiant, or chaplain. Some folks just want to be a wedding officiant. Some folks just want to be a chaplain, or either one of the pastor, reverend, or minister. So either one of those titles, after a year, you can take on that particular title of ministry.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much, Pastor Mark.
You're very welcome, and God bless you.
Just hold on there, Brother Daniel. We'll get back with you. Pastor, I'm glad you brought that up, because I do jail ministry, juvenile, and various ministries, and you do need license to get into these ministries. It's great to know the Word of God, but it shows that you're committed and that you're focused if you have these license. You know, you're saying being a chaplain. You know, occasionally I go over to the hospital and I pray for families and loved ones that are in the hospital and things. And a lot of times they need a chaplain on time. You can be a volunteer chaplain, and then if you have a license, it's showing that you're studied and you've been approved and you've been recognized. Yeah, you could go in there without these things. But what power you have, you know, to do these things? Yeah, God anointed, but yet these things are for men's comfort. These things are showing that, hey, I went to school. I had to prove myself. And so, you know, and I'm glad that you brought that up there, because we do need these licenses. We ain't got to have no function in that in a particular ministry, but those licenses just showing that you have made yourself available for studying and that you're structured. So thank you for what you're doing. Now, Pastor, we're getting ready to end this interview. This has been a great interview. Now, tell us now why you do what you do. We know that I know what you do, but tell our listening audience what gives you the compassion and the desire to do it. It sounds like you're on fire for the Lord, and it's 8 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday morning, but yet you're still on fire for the Lord. Why you do what you do?
Yes, but let me say this before I go there, Minister Lewis. Let me also say that these ordained licenses are covered over all of the U.S. territories. In other words, your license is recognized all over the U.S. But the reason why I have the passion that I have is because I know where God has brought me from. And there are people who have the potentials and have the desire to fulfill the call of God, but they don't have the wherewithal. They don't know how to go about it. They don't have the knowledge of where to go or the funding to take care of it. God has placed us in our ministry midst, and He entrusted us with it. He put His stamp of approval on it. And I tell you what, Minister Lewis, just very, very quickly, when God called me to do the school of ministry, when He was preparing these lessons, and this was all God ordained. I quit my job. Somebody would say, that's foolish. God had me to quit the job that I was on, making good money. And I quit the job, Minister Lewis, for a month and a half. And I was up day and night. I was up from in the morning. I would get like 3 and 4 hours of sleep. God was ministering to me exactly what to do and what to put in the curriculum for the school of ministry. And He gave me the wherewithal and the whys and the hows and the times and all of that. He placed in me something because the people of God need to know that they are called to do a work. God is calling us in this time and hour. As we look around, we see so much going on in our world. God is wanting to raise up a people that won't have any excuses why they can go and get their credentials and go into the world. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. People need to know there are people that are hurting. There are people that are committing crimes of passion and crimes of mischief against somebody else. But if we can get the word of God into that person, we can change that person from having the heart of wanting to do wrong and change them to want to do right. And that is why I am passionate about what we do, because we know that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And if we get the word of God to the people, we can change their ways of thinking. We change their thoughts, change their patterns of what they're thinking that it should be to the pattern of what God says. If we can change our thinking, we can change our world.
Amen. You know, I'm sitting there making notes of what you're saying, and you said change several times, and that's our theme for part of our program and our ministry, is to say, help change your life in Jesus' name. And that comes from James 5:20, when it said to let them know the errors of their way and change. Save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Oh, past, present, and future.
Praise,
you know, we
God.
Can't undo the things we done. But God covered us,
right.
Man. And he covered us day by day. And he letting us know, hey, yeah, you messed up. Now, I forgave you. You go out and you forgive somebody else, and you tell him that I forgive them too. Because sometimes people think God mad at them. I go down to the jail, and these brothers think God mad at them. Man, God is mad at me. He's not mad at you, but you got to, you know, reap what you sow. You know, just like an alcoholic. You could drink and drink and drink, then you can say that you go to the doctor. He said, hey, you got sclerosis of the liver. You can't get mad at God. He saved you anyway through those difficult times. So thank you for what you're doing. You know, it encouraged me. You know, and we pray that someone heard this program and that they be on fire. They use this number that you gave out, the number to call in for the School of Ministry, Feed My Sheep Ministry. It's 214-264-7068. That's the number to reach out and call the school and say, hey, when is the scheduled start date? I want to be a part of it. And call Pastor Mackey. He should make himself available. Every time I call him, he was available. And so I'm pretty sure that he would be willing to talk to anyone regarding his school. Pastor, as we get ready to get out of here, you get the last words on this particular program. Share with God's people what you'd like them to know concerning the ministry and the school.
Amen. Yes, again, Feed My Sheep, the Word Ministry. We're located at 7220 Southwest Florida Road in the Duncanville area of Dallas, Texas, Suite 210. Go to 75237. Again, you can call us at 214-264-7068. We have an operator standing by to take your call. Any questions or concerns, give us a call. Our Sunday school time is 9:15 a.m., church service 10:30 on Sundays and 5 p.m. on Sundays, and Tuesday evening on 7 p.m. on Tuesday evening. Ministry school from 10 to 12 on Saturdays. God bless you, and I just want you to encourage the people of God. Trust God. Depend on him. Lean and rely on him. Even in our times of trouble, we can call on him. He will be a deliverer. He will bring us out of what we're in if we can put our trust in God and know that he is always there. Trust him for everything that you go through in Jesus' name.
Amen. God bless you. Thank you, Pastor Mackey, for being a guest on our weekly internet program, Free on the Inside. You truly have been a blessing to me and our listening audience, and we pray that men and women take advantage of this free ministerial school and they be empowered with the word of God and help change a life in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you. God bless you.
Amen. God bless you. We'll talk later. Amen. What a great interview that we had that with Pastor Mackey there at Feed My Sheep Word Ministry and at the school there, Feed My Sheep School of Ministry. Amen. We pray that you take advantage of that, and we're looking forward to hearing great things from that school and getting testimony from men and women regarding that school. We have a brother Daniels on the line right now. He's going to come on, and he's going to give us some comments regarding some things that he's have on his mind. Good morning, brother Daniels.
Good morning, Reverend Lewis.
Good morning, brother. What a great interview that we had there with Pastor Mackey, man. You know, and it's always good to go to school now, brother. We bring this in because, you know, our program, and we touch every phase of God's people, man. You know, we are encouraged about what God is doing. So we thank God for programs like this. So what's going on with you? Because we got another little short episode we're going to bring up. We got a pre-recorded show of Derek Alexander. He's the founder of the Next Generation movement. And since we got so much turmoil and things going around in Dallas, and around the country. We want to play a part of that show that we interviewed with him some time ago regarding all the things that's happening around the country regarding Black Lives Matter and just a Blue Life Matter and All Life Matters.
Well, basically, I believe next week, I think we should have something like a general call.
Brother Daniel, speak up for me, man. I can hardly hear you, sir. Speak up a little bit.
A call-in show to just to get everybody's opinion that what do you think can be done to relieve all the racial tensions and the hatred that we have between the police and black people. And then if you really further want to go through with it, all the other people in higher positions, okay, that goes for congressmen, court-appointed people, people that have high esteem, why basically do they dislike black people? You know what I'm saying? What is this hatred? What is this hatred coming from between the people? You know, basically, you know, we men of God, we know who the author of confusion is. It's Satan. But basically, we have people that are put in high positions in offices and everything around here, and basically they say one thing, but they don't really use the word of God as their meter or even their sounding board. You know what I'm saying? You can go in the courtroom and you take an oath on a Bible, but at the same time, devious things are being done in a courtroom. Can you attest to that, Reverend Lewis?
Right. I understand what you're saying. That's why we're going to have some people come on next week. That's why we're doing a prelude to our next week's show here with Next Generation. And, Brother Daniel, we realize that men and women of color like ourselves are being abused and misused through the justice system. As we were growing up, man, we saw how police treated us in our own neighborhood. You know, only through the grace and the mercy of God, man, it could have been us. That's on TV today. It could be us at the funeral home. It could be us in the graveyard, man. But God kept us, man. And not only kept us, but he empowered us to be that light in a dying world, to be that encourager, man, to stand on the forefront and bring to people the attention that these things are right. What people are doing today is bringing it to their attention. Some of them are structured and some of it is not structured in the right content, but we that are strong and restored, we ought to be able to lend a hand to those that are kind of lost and searching for a way to express themselves. That's why it's important for us to speak to our young men and women. That's why it's important to us to tell them about getting an education. You know, it's more to life than being an athlete or a rapper. You know, they need to be lawyers and doctors and congressmen, you know, for people that can change. Most cultures come in here and they say first thing they want to do is be assimilated to the United States, and then they want to get into some kind of government office or function so they can make a difference. And that's something that we need to do.
Basically,
we need to bring our young kids up and say, hey, I want to be a lawyer. I want to even a police officer, because we realize that we have a lot of bad people in every position, man. It ain't just in the police department. And then we have black people that are not very honest and faithful at what they're doing also. So we need to raise up a whole generation. But until we do that, we need to work on the generation that we have now.
Okay. As you could see, you know, in some of the past things around in America, where we used to have these rallies and these meetings and all these, everybody gathers together. Basically, that used to work a long time ago, Revolution. But now, you know, basically, a lot of people say one thing, then they go off and do something else. In fact, I was at church last week, and this minister, he made a good point. What we need to do as a black people, we need to start hitting these people where it really hurts them at. And basically the only thing what really they respect is money. Can you read me now?
I hear you. And that's so true.
So us as a black race, or anybody else in their race, can if we just pool all our money together and stop feeding our money to these bankers and all these big corporations, just basically let them see what black people really matter to them. Because we are consumers. We basically buy everything. You know what I'm saying? And without us,
And that's so true. That's why I said we need to be organized, better organized. And we know some great things now, but we can always go a little bit further. You said some things that I'd heard before, but I was just thinking about where would we start at, you know, and what, you know, would it be a Target, or would it be a Walmart, or what?
One corporation we need to work on. And basically, it's the bank.
Well,
it's the bank.
Right now, we're talking about the justice system. You know, the bank ain't got nothing to do with
it. Yeah, but everything works on money.
Yeah.
Everybody always have to go on money. On Monday morning, everybody goes to the bank. Your lawyers, your judges, everybody, they checking their bank accounts every day. You know, every Monday morning, they're making sure they got their money in their bank. And so when you start hurting them, okay, I'll tell you a good example. Do you understand how Martin Luther King basically, why he went to that city where he went to where he got assassinated?
Boycott for the garbage
collectors. They were boycotting. They had stopped coming to work. And basically what they were trying to do, they were trying to hurt these people that basically if you don't support us and treat us like we good employers and pay us as we are worth, your trash ain't going to get empty. And basically all this stayed up for weeks and weeks. And finally, I believe they heard the word. They heard the message.
Yeah.
They had to put out basically in another way, what we're saying is we as a basic black race, if we basically stop supporting the police people and the lawyers and everybody that's making these laws and rules, and let them listen instead of turning their heads, you know, and you know what I'm saying? They turn their heads.
Course.
You know, you got a law about a gun control law, and a man go out and do something, and the next day, the Senate and the congressman just veto a bill. And won't even listen to it because basically the people are paying them to vote the way they want them to vote.
Yeah. Hey, Brother Daniel, I tell you what, we got this a short interview here with Derek Alexander, man, from Next Generation. Hold that thought there, bro. We're going to bring him in, then we're going to come back and end this program, okay?
Okay.
I don't want time to go by. All right? So.
All right.
Education system being purposely underfunded, human sex trafficking, domestic violence in the community, violence in the community, police brutality, I grew up in Oak Cliff, Texas, and I started a foundation about a year ago called the Kelly Alert Foundation, in which we have a bill on Texas floor called the Kelly Alert for victims of imminent danger between the ages of 18 to 64, similar to the Amber Alert and the Silver Alert, but this is for the people between that gap. So we're trying to do some amazing things and being able to be impactful to be able to change some lives and help some lives.
That is incredible. That's a lot y'all have going on, and I love the whole ideology behind it being young people, and it kind of takes us back to the civil rights movement, but that involves SNCC, which was a young organization of, you know, per se college students and under. And I know for a fact they went all the way back to elementary age, even in the civil rights movement where, you know, you had your college, and when they got arrested, then they had to move to the actually even lower grade school children out there in the civil rights movement as foot soldiers. So that being said, I understand also Mr. Alexander Drew, an ordained minister for the Chula Missionary Baptist Church. And so with that being said, I wanted to pose this question. The civil rights movement, the foundation of all of what the civil rights movement was, you know, involved an organization of ministers and by and large the church itself. We all know that the boycott, bus boycott in Alabama was constructed of a pseudo station or transit system, if you will, through the church and through members are volunteering their cars and they're buying automobiles to transport those people for the entire year of the bus boycott. And so you've been an ordained minister and this movement you have, what would you say, because I think what's missing here, and it's just my opinion, you know, is the participation of the church, the strong participation of the church that made the civil rights movement so successful. So what role do you think the church should play today with your organization, organization such as yourself? What role do you think the church can play today, and do you even think they will?
Well, I can tell you this. As a historian of the civil rights movement and other movements that went across the world, I know that the church had a very strong presence in being able to bring about change. Even when, and if you read the Bible, change came with the church. I feel that the church should have a more stronger presence. And my organization is gearing up to make sure that we can be able to galvanize churches to have a more stronger presence on the issues that's going on. It saddens me every day that we don't have our churches being heavily involved with the things that we're doing in the community. I tell people all the time, I in the city of Dallas just alone, we had more of the top 100 largest churches in the country in the DMW metroplex. And I just think about that, and that we can be so much impactful. But I know that the government, know that the people that, push oppression towards different people, they know that. And they do the strategy very strongly to make sure that we're not able to be impactful in gaining the support of churches. So under the direction of my church, the True Love Missionary Baptist Church, Dr. Emmy Sargent, one of the founding members, the Oak Cliff Ministers Union and the International Ministers Alliance in Dallas, and I've been working very closely with pastors to be able to bring about change in our community, and being able to connect with pastors with history that they cannot argue with.
Okay, that's incredible. I totally agree with you on that, and I am hoping that the churches will become more involved in this movement. And you're so very right. The successful mega churches here in the Dallas area, in the Texas area, you would think that we would have a little bit more support on that. And so I'd like to ask, I understand that you work with an organization that likes to involve the young people, a young people's movement. So with a generation that is so violent prone towards one another at times, how are we going to be able to get them to protest or conduct themselves in a non-violent manner that would garner this new respect for a generation, for an organization such as yourself? How are you going about in the recruitment of young people, and how are you getting these young people that nowadays they have quite a violent mindset to come together and come under the umbrella of an organization such as yours?
Well, the main thing about I'm trying to build an organization where it'll be likely and more innovative that young folks be able to come. I tell you, most of the time, they find me. They find the organization, then we finding them. And right now in the community right now, we just have to have things that's going to be able to impact them. And when we get them, we educate them on the people that did it in a violent way, and we educate them the people that did it in a nonviolent way. And we weigh out the success and the things they was able to accomplish. And everybody agree at the end of the day that the nonviolent folks accomplished a lot of things. And we just go about history, and most of us know about Martin Luther King. And most of us are tired. I think we went on a dormant stage. My mom's generation, my mom agreed with me that in the 90s and the 80s, it kind of went on a dormant stage. I think black people and different people start getting a little bit of, and a lot of stuff was a little bit addressed, and they was like, okay, and it went on a dormant stage. So I believe that this is a generation that will bring this thing back up and put it back into the grid to really be able to take this thing to another level and being able to address these serious racial comments, racial things, lack of opportunity in our employmentship. I just spoke at the commissioner's court this past week. Mike Contrell made a comment, John Wiley Price and Elba Garcia. They was bringing the diversity into the new Parkland Hospital, and 57 out of 57 top executives, 42 of them was white. And the commissioner, Mike Contrell, he said, he made a comment. He said that, I know that we always say that the staffers should reflect the patients, but maybe the staffers should reflect the taxpayers. So we protested him to ask him exactly who is the taxpayer. So are you telling us the minority community do not pay taxes in Dallas County? You know, so and right now, you know, we very well need to stand up on these issues and address these issues.
That is fantastic. Now that's the way to go. Y'all are holding their foot to the fire on the important issues out there. And I mean, that's a wonderful thing to know that y'all got that covered too. Okay, and so I'm gonna shift gears. And in terms of the in light of all of the latest things that have been happening out there in the community, in particular with the violence upon young African American Latinos and even poor whites, what do you think your role will be in reaching out to law enforcement to have them come to an understanding or come to more involved with the community and coming together so that maybe we can work some things out with regards to how they approach us in our communities and even how we react to them when they come into our communities?
Well, main first thing, you have to open up the dialogue with these folks. About a month ago, I was invited to a police simulator. And what I went through in this simulator, it was with the Dallas Police Association. And what I went through is three different simulator cases of live interactions of how police, what they go through. I did a press conference, and they asked me a question. They was like, what do you do? Well, main thing about it is when an officer tells you to do something, please do not hesitate to stop and render aid or do the things that they're telling you to do because we cannot win it in the streets. Most people felt like I shouldn't have done that. You know, most people in the police brutality thing, I shouldn't have done that. But we have to open up the dialogue to be able to interact. Now, they invited all of our state leaders and our city of Dallas leaders and mayors to do this simulator. And I was the one guy that was able to do this simulator. Now, at this advantage, I'm able to use this at my best advantage in being able to address some of these concerns that's going on in our community. So, with that being said, we were able to make some alliance and be able to open up dialogue between the Dallas Police Association and our organization to be able to go into this next year with some strong reform towards policing and definitely address this issue. So we're definitely opening up our dialogue and being able to the community needs policing and the police needs community.
That's awesome. I don't even that's how you do it right there. And so it's like you're going and getting the tools that you need and that's perfect. Like that's kinda I mean, you know, I just think everything you're saying is just right on point. I mean, you can't, you're going in all the right directions, and I think that this is going to be a wonderful thing that I hope the listening audience is taking all this in and finding out ways that they can get in touch with this organization, because I can tell you, as you've heard Mr. Alexander explain, you know, they are going in the right direction in bettering our communities. And so it is just important, the work that you all are doing. And so, Joe, at this time, will you be taking questions for Mr. Alexander, or should we keep moving along?
I think this is a great interview. We want to thank both of you for being on here and doing what God ordained you to do. Mr. Alexander, you hit on some very important points about the church being involved, how the young people are seeking you out. Will you give us some information, and the phone lines are filling up, so we'll give Mr. Alexander plenty of time to express his thoughts and comments regarding the questions that you have asked him, and they've been very timely questions. Mr. Alexander, give us some information on how someone can get in touch with your organization and be involved in what you're doing.
Well, currently, you can go on our website. It's just www.NextGenerationActionNetwork. That's www.NextGenerationActionNetwork. Or you can go on our Facebook under Next Generation Action Network. We're on Twitter. We're on Tumblr. We're on YouTube. We're on Instagram. We're on all the social media handlers. Or you can call our organization at 866-337-3060. That's 866-337-3060. And I'm also on Twitter under Minister Dominique Alexander, and on Facebook under Minister Dominique Alexander.
Great, great. Thank you for that. Brother Daniel, what a great interview that we had there. And as a pre-show recordings, we done that some time ago with Mr. Alexander and Carol Reed. She conducted that interview. Oh, man, what a timely interview that is. And you know what? Those problems are still plaguing us today.
Yeah, I was saying, like, the main point he said was that they said we don't pay taxes. And basically, I believe that's the truth, Reverend Lewis. We don't pay our taxes. Man, we might own property taxes, but basically all of us, basically we're behind in our taxes. We might pay taxes when we go to the store, but the average person that owns property, they're basically behind on their taxes. Basically, if you want to try to build up, draw up another deferment, another way to discriminate against black people, that's it too. You know, they always thinking, you know, that's where the poll tax and the voters' rights tax was drawn up by them, thinking the way that you wouldn't grandfather calls. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. And that's why we need to take matters into our own hand now, Brother Daniels. You know, it's time for us to take back the things that are rightfully belong to ours, because that's been free, has been able to be the people we want to be. That's a way to govern ourselves. You know, sometimes we have lost it and turned that over to someone else. But now it's time for us to regain that rightful position, and groups like Next Generation and the NAACP and all those other groups that have been established and been able to do these things. So we ought to see what we could do to be part of that.
Can you understand who Brother
Mackey
is?
Brother Dane, what'd you say? I couldn't hear you on that.
Can you go in the description of Brother Mackey so some of our listeners might not be too familiar with him? Who is he now?
Oh, yes, he's a minister. He's a minister over at the Feed My Sheep Word Ministry. And for more information, go to his website. Give him a call. They have a school of ministry. It's in the Oak Cliff area. So give him a call. That number is 214-264-7068.
But what I'm trying to say, was he involved with the march the other day?
No, he wasn't. No, he's totally different from that. If he is, I'm not aware of it. What we did, two segments of our show here. We wanted to do the one about what's going on with society today, but my guest wasn't available. So what we did, we used Rev Mackey came in and shared some things concerning his his religious school, School of Ministry. And it's very important, Rick, because I have people that ask me all the time, I want to go to school, I don't have the means to go, and I want to get more education, and I don't know where to go. And so God have brought to my attention Rel Mackey and his school. And there's many more schools besides his. I think I had the dean of my school that came over and shared some things.
Amen.
So if you want to find out more about it, give him a call.
Okay, all right. But we all like, all like I said before, we live in the perilous times. I was looking at TV the other day when they were basically was trying to figure out why did that guy do what he did, you know. Basically, if you look at it, them kind of people could be in the world.
Yeah, and that's right. That's why we have to be prayed up, Rick, and we got to be well informed, and we need to have men and women, man, that are standing in the gap. That's the only thing that's holding this country, our family, this city together, is men and women that are standing in the gap. And that's why schools and organizations, all of them work to the glory of God. Even what we're doing here this morning, someone on out there that's listening to it, they said, man, I know where I could do more. And Brother Dan, that's what God called us to do more. But sometimes we don't know what to do. And sometimes, you know, we wait on other people to do it, and God is waiting on us.
Amen.
You know?
Well,
and Brother Dan, we getting ready to get out of here, Brother Dan. What you got, what we got coming up for our next week program? I know you talked to me about getting various guests and things, so you have anything on your mind? What type of topics would you like to have? You know, you have made mention of something, but share with me again. I'm going to make a note of it, and we'll see. Can we bring that about?
I got a couple of top-name musicians set up to come up next week. A lot of educators, jazz educators, they teach music in the DIST school system. And I have a couple of artists, poets, and stuff set up to come in basically, they want them to describe their lives and how they use God in order to fulfill their dreams. How God helped
Amen.
Them pull them up when they were struggling.
Amen. I understand that. Okay, that sounds good. I'm looking forward to that. We'll see if we can make that happen. What we will do is reach out to some of our social programs and try to bring some men and women in to find out what's really going on with in the life of in the society as a whole. You know, we want to continue to bring to the forefront some of the plights that is engulfing neighborhoods. Black lives do matter.
Back to that conversation I was listening to with that guy was talking, the main thing, what he was saying, that whenever a police officer tells you to do something, it's best you do it. Because, number one, they're afraid for their lives, especially after what happened last Thursday. Man, they're walking on time ball up there, you know?
Yeah.
And basically, the worst beat is at nighttime. Basically, when you stop somebody at nighttime, basically, you don't know what's going on with them. And those guys and those officers, man, they are fearful for their lives. And basically, they asked Chief Brown why he made that decision to just up and blow that guy up. It was because he disrespected them. And he was sitting there talking smack to him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And we realize, Ricky, these are difficult times on both sides of the fence, black and white. And so we all are facing challenges, but we have to be able to work through these challenges because we all are human beings. So we want to look out one for another, but we also want to be mindful that everybody a lot of people have the wrong intent. And so on both sides of it, so we would need to weed those people with those negative attitudes and bad behaviors out of the system. And you're going to always have that. It's kind of like having a garden. You're going to always have some weeds that grow up in a garden. What you can do is try to control it, try to keep them at bay, and get what you're going to get out of it. That's the way I can put it, simplest way as possible. Brother Daniel, we got to get on out of here, man. I thank you for calling in. Man, we had a great time this morning, man. What a great guest we had on there with Pastor making his and sharing with us his school of ministry, Feed My Sheep Ministry, located at 7220 South Wheatland Road, Suite 210, Dallas, Texas, zip code 75237. The phone number is 214-264-7068. Please give him a call and see if you can be a part of that school. Hey, man, Brother Dash, we're ready to get out of here, man. We want to thank you, brother, once again. Gracious and Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus.
You guys are amazing. You're doing some wonderful things. And I will say, Brother Dominic, I live out here in the Plano, Texas area myself, but I was born and raised in Dallas and Oak Cliff myself, and I've seen the changes that are happening. And you're certainly right about that. Out here in the Fort Worth, Dallas area, the police officers, they know the people in their community. I mean, you can ask them about a student at a high school, and one of them will say, oh, yeah, I know him, and I've met his family. That's how it should be.
Listen to our program,
you know,
Lord,
recently,
them, Lord,
in the news not long ago,
the
Dallas sheriff had the officers board the rail system in line with us in an attempt for making a good faith gesture to get to know the people in the community and say hello and reach out to them. How do you feel about that?
Always present, the Lord, in our life. Lord, thank you for Brother Daniel, as he continue to call in. Thank you for our listening audience, dear Lord, for this truly is the day that you have made. We pray this thing in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Daniel. What a great guest you've been this morning. As we get ready to wrap up this year, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Amen. And don't ever get tired of well doing. Amen. And God bless you. And until next time, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might.